This morning, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 114. Psalm 114, we'll be reading the 8 verses of this psalm. Psalm 114, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back. O mountains, that you skip like rams. O hills, like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. We are looking at this section of the Psalter, referred to as the Egyptian Hallel, as we give some thought to the liturgical season we are in, the season of Lent, a time that we remember the suffering and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's called the Egyptian Hallel. We said last week, kids, Hallel is praise. Bringing praise to God for what he has done. It is called the Egyptian Hallel because it reminds them and reminds us of the deliverance that God gave his people as he took them out of Egypt. Psalm 114 reminds us of the past, of what God has done. But Psalm 114 also anticipates the coming of the work of Jesus Christ and the true deliverance that he brings to all of his people. We looked last week at Psalm 113, and we saw that the psalmist structured that psalm in such a way that the point of the psalm was right about in the middle. He talked about who God is, a God who is high above the nations, a God whose glory is above the heavens. He talked about what God does, raising the poor from the dust and the needy from the ash heap, and why in the middle he puts his point, who is like the Lord our God? Who is like God who is that great and glorious? In Psalm 114, the psalmist puts his point near the end, in verse 7. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. God's presence among his people. That is the theme of Psalm 114. We're going to look at that theme today as we see what it meant for God's people Israel, as we see what it means for us still now. The psalm begins. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. It recalls the captivity of God's people in Egypt. Now, why were God's people in captivity, children? Why were they down in Egypt? Was it because God was punishing them? We know that later in their history, God would send the Babylonians, God would send the Assyrians as punishment to his people, and they'd be taken away in captivity. Is that why they were down in Egypt? Well, maybe make a note to yourself later today to read from Exodus chapter 1. We're reminded that Joseph took all of his family down into Egypt because of a famine. We read in Exodus chapter 1, verse 6, then Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong. So the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more that they multiplied and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. They were enslaved down in Egypt, not because of anything they had done, but actually because God had blessed them and they were growing and abounding. But as God recognizes his people in slavery, when they call out to him, he will send answers to them because he has chosen his people. He has chosen them for his very own, and he has made promises to his people. God would bring them out of captivity. God would deliver them from Egypt because of who he is. He is a God who is faithful to his word, faithful to his promises, faithful to his chosen ones, that he would never leave them, he would never forsake them. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. He would bring them out of captivity, and then he would dwell with his people. Judah would be his sanctuary. Israel would be his dominion. We have so many beautiful pictures in the Old Testament of the ways in which God would dwell with his people. We think of the Ark of the Covenant, that ark which was really a picture of the throne of God, the place where God would allow his glory to dwell, a picture of his presence with his chosen ones. We think of the tabernacle as that would travel with them. He would go along with his people in their journeys. We think of the temple where God says, "My name will dwell here." God's presence in the midst of his people. Now today, we don't have the ark. We don't have the tabernacle. We don't have the temple. But God still dwells with his people. God still dwells in their midst. In the midst of the church, he dwells by the power of his Holy Spirit. The place where God has set his name, the place where in a particular way he gathers with his people by the power of the Spirit. And we witness that this morning as we come to the table of the Lord. We come to, in a particular way, be in the presence of our God, not because the bread and the wine are special or we got them from a special store or anything like that, but in these, the Spirit works. God is spiritually present among us in the bread and in the wine. We celebrate God's presence with his people today. And the reminder that the supper gives us, the work of Jesus Christ, not delivering a people out of slavery to another nation, but the deliverance Christ has given us, the true deliverance from the dominion of sin, rescuing us from the power of Satan, delivering us, and then indwelling us with his Spirit. God's sovereign choice to care for his people, to continue to dwell in the midst of his people. God does so to bring glory to himself. He is in our presence and certainly is our blessing, but he does so to bring himself glory. Verse 3, "The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back." What's the reference here? The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back. Again, a reminder of the deliverance of his people from Egypt. Remember the story, children. God did take his people out of Egypt, but they found themselves at the edge of the Red Sea, and the hosts of Pharaoh coming behind them. They were trapped. There was no way out. And God would provide deliverance beyond what they could have imagined. God would let them pass through the sea. God would take them through that trial, through that difficulty, and land them safely on the other side. He was with his people. And to bring glory to himself, he cared for his people. Oh, certainly it was for their blessing. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he did it again. As they were preparing to enter the promised land, once again, God divides the waters, the River Jordan. And as the people begin to go through, God again leads them through the waters, leads them through what seemed to be an insurmountable obstacle. So many times in the Psalms, water is a picture of turmoil, a picture of difficulty, a picture of hardship, to remind us that our God is still with his people. God is still bringing glory to himself. When we find ourselves in times of trouble, when we find ourselves facing hardships and we simply say, there's no way out, what can I do? I can't think of anything. Our God is with us. And he manifests his power and he manifests his glory because there's nothing we can do. But God leads us through the difficulty. He does not leave us. He does not forsake us. He remains with his people to highlight his love, his care, and the glory he brings to himself. The sea looked and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Again, what is the picture that God is giving us here? The mountains skipped, the hills shook. It is a picture of shaking, of trembling. The mountains trembled. And again, in the context of Psalm 114, we think back to the Exodus, to God's people at Mount Sinai. And in Exodus chapter 19, we read this. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. The mountain trembles at the presence of God. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back. O mountains, that you skip like rams. O hills, like lambs, because they cannot stand in the presence of God. He is the one who is mighty, who is powerful, who is glorious, and brings glory to himself by manifesting that power. Israel taken out of Egypt, the presence of God in the fire and the cloud. We think of the way through the sea, the staff of Moses opening up the waters for them. We think of the Ark of the Covenant as it enters the Jordan River, the waters flee. The presence of the Lord, great, glorious, and majestic. At Mount Sinai, the thunder and the lightning, God's presence in the midst of his people. That power, that glory, that majesty. And they are the ones that are blessed because he delivered them from Pharaoh and he brought them into the promised land. That power, that glory, that majesty remains with God's people even today, delivered from captivity and brought into the promised land. It's all because of what God has done, not because of what we have done. God has sent His own Son, His own presence, to dwell in the midst of His people. God's presence among His people in His Son, Jesus Christ. I mentioned last week that I am somewhat uncomfortable with so many of the human inventions around Lent. Lent is not about the fact that we might try to find somehow to identify with Christ. It is about the fact that Christ, the eternal Son of God, has chosen to identify with us. He came down. The presence of God in the midst of a fallen and sinful people, one who lived among us, one who took our sin upon Himself, and one who would go all the way to the cross, giving up His life for us. God came down. The presence of God in the midst of His people. And then even as Christ was put in the tomb, what happened on Easter morning? The earth trembled again. The earth trembled again, and the tomb was opened. That's what we celebrate as we come to the table of our Lord. Not the body of a dead Christ, but the body of a resurrected Christ. One who was too glorious for the tomb to hold, too great, too majestic. Jesus Christ came down, and He did everything necessary to secure the salvation of each and every one of His people. Why are you ailing? Why are you fleeing? Why are you turning back? It is God's presence among His people. And so the psalmist says, "Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob." Tremble. Be in awe. Recognize what He has done. He is here today in our midst. On that first Easter, they were given a message: do not be afraid. You seek Jesus who has risen. That fear was turned to awe and to devotion. The fear and the trembling turned to worship through the working of God. He is in our midst today. I think we sometimes come to worship far too casually. We forget that as we enter into this place, we are coming into the presence of the Holy God Himself, the One who is glorious, majestic, the One who opens up the seas and the rivers, the One who makes the mountains shake. And yet as we approach Him, we need not fear, but we come in reverence and we come in awe to bring Him the worship which He so deserves, for He has worked in the lives and hearts of His people. And that's, again, what we celebrate as we come to the table this morning. Not that the bread is so significant in itself or the wine so significant in itself, but they are pictures, reminders, pointers of God's powerful work in His Son, Jesus Christ, to secure the redemption of each and every one of His people. That's what we celebrate as we take and eat and take and drink and remember and believe that this was done for the full forgiveness of all our sins. The psalmist, after saying, "Tremble, O earth, at His presence, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water." And again, these images from the desert dwelling, these images from the deliverance from captivity. Israel had seen water from a rock. Israel had seen water in the desert when there was no water. They had seen the magnificent power of God to care for His people. This morning, children, can you imagine if I had a rock and could somehow make water come out of that rock, you'd say, wow, how amazing, how incredible. God does something even more amazing. God takes hearts of stone, hearts that are cold and hard and turned against him, and he makes them into hearts of flesh. He makes them into hearts that now long to live in a way that is pleasing to God. He changes people. That's much more powerful than making water from a rock. It's changing a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. God continues to work miraculously among his people. And that great God is the God in whose presence we are today. He calls us to acknowledge him. He calls us to recognize who he is and what he has done. That he is the one who has come down, his presence among his people. That he is the one who in Jesus Christ has washed away all of our sins, who has given us new life, new hearts. And so he calls you this morning to put your faith and trust in him. If never before, he calls you today to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. To know the power of this God whose presence is among his people, who dwells in us by the power of his Spirit, indwelling and filling his church, that we might live in a way that brings glory to him. And he strengthens us for that task. He strengthens us for that call. As this morning, once again, the presence of God among his people, as we take, as we eat, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to live for the God who dwells with us. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we do thank and praise you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your power and your majesty manifest in him, that he would be your presence among his people, and that by the power of his Spirit, he is still with us today. Lord God, we rejoice in this glorious gift, and we thank you that you strengthen us by your Spirit in the bread and the wine. Lord God, may we leave today rejoicing in all that you have done and knowing that you are the God who still dwells in the midst of his people. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.